What does the Bible say about blessings? And so open your Bible, if you would please, to Genesis chapter number 1. We'll start here with Genesis chapter 1. I will go ahead and confess to you that we will not make it through this message. It will take 2 weeks to do that. It's already 7:20, and so I would need a more time than I'm going to be able to have. We've been using these Wednesday nights to kind of be topical in our approach to the study of the Word of God, but we've started a series entitled, What Does the Bible Say About This? All of these messages are archived on the internet, and I want them to be able to be a resource tool for you as you run into opportunities to talk with people or to witness to people, and you come up with a subject or something, and you might want some verses or some help or direction on this. And as I'm praying and asking God to give me the subjects, then I'm praying that God will use them for His glory. But I spoke last week on what does the Bible say about bitterness. And if there's anything that is the opposite of being bitter, it's being a blessing. And I feel like this is a good follow-up to that message. The word bless, blessed, blesseth, and blessing, those words are all used in the Word of God. If you take a concordance and you look them up, they're used multiple times. The word bless or blessing or blessed really carries with it the idea of honoring and praising. It's an active word. It carries the thought, and many thoughts. One of the thoughts would be to kneel. When it's used toward God, it's used with the thought of adoration or praise and honor. When God uses it toward, or when the Word of God uses it toward man, it carries with it the idea of a benefit. That man is blessed, he's benefited, or that man is a blessing, he has benefited others. In the Greek, the word eulogy is tied to the word blessing. It carries the idea of to speak well of, to bless, or to praise. There's deeper levels of the word. One of the deep levels of it is to be supremely blessed, to be considered fortunate, to be considered well off. Sometimes we say, well, those people are well off, and we mean that they have money. I would just say this. Just because you have money doesn't mean you're blessed. I hope you don't think that money will bless you. It's a tool, but people live their lives thinking if they just had more money, they would be blessed. The word carries the idea of happy or happier to be blessed. And the Bible says a lot about this word blessing. It says a lot about it in relation to our lives. It says a lot about it in relation to the way we treat others. It says a lot about in our perspective on our life. And so I want to go through multiple scriptures here and make multiple applications. And I want them to be so with the idea of the thought that A, that you can be blessed, and B, that you will be a blessing to others. And so Genesis chapter 1 is the creation of mankind, the creation of the world. We understand that. It's funny, in these last few months, I have found myself visiting the act of creation much in the messages and in the Word of God. In chapter 1 of this, in verse number 20, you find there that God is getting ready to create again. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales. Don't you love whales? Whales are beautiful. I love to watch whales jumping in the ocean. I like to watch them on television. I don't want to see them up close. He created great whales And every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Pastor, why are you saying this? Because even in creation, God wanted creation to know a blessing. When you come down here to verse number 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God, what class? Blessed them. And God blessed them. When God created man, God created man with a blessing. God created man to be blessed. When Adam was first created and then Eve formed from his rib, it was the intent of God in the creation of mankind for blessing. And so it is within the heart of God and the nature of God to bless. Man was created with God's blessing. Now, we understand, if you would, go to Genesis chapter 3. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 14. You will see that through sin, man lost the blessing of God. It says in verse chapter 3, verse 14, and this is after they had sinned against God. God is referring here to the serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art, what's that word? Cursed. And so we understand this curse of sin. Above all cattle and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. As much as I love whales, I hate snakes. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. This was the consequence of sin in the woman's life. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. By the way, men, that doesn't mean that you should never listen to your wife. And all the women said, thank you, Pastor. And hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So man was created in the image of God. Man was created with the blessing of God. We understand that man sinned against God, and therefore man lost that blessed position and that blessed state. Look, if you would, at verse number 20 of the same chapter. Praise the Lord that God stepped in the middle of this, and God provided for a way for man once again to be blessed. Verse number 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of what class? Skins, and clothed them. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, they realized for the first time in their conscience, they realized that they had sinned, and they realized that they were naked. And what they did to try to cover themselves, you understand, they sewed those coats of fig leaves. The problem is, it wasn't their physical nakedness that was the problem. It was the corruption of their heart. And so those leaves could not, it may have covered their physical body, but it could not cover the sin. And so we know from the Word of God that sin is only cleansed by what? The blood of Christ. So God himself killed these animals and God shed their blood and God brought to them coats of skin. Now, why is this important? Man was created by God with a blessing. In the sin, man put himself at enmity with God, and therefore out of that blessed relation, and man could really do nothing about that, but praise the Lord, God made a way again for Adam and Eve to know blessing. And if you look at chapter 5, verse number 1, please go there. The Bible says, this is the book of the generations of Adam, all right? In that day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him, male and female, created them, and did what? And blessed them, and called their name Adam. And when you begin to make your way down through this, the lineage of Adam, you will understand that God was able once again to bring blessing to mankind through the atoning work of that blood or the covering of that blood. So God could once again bless. Now you know in Genesis chapter 5 and chapter 6 begins the sin of man upon the earth. The flood is coming in 6, 7, and 8. And when you get to Genesis chapter 9, verse number 1, Noah comes out of the ark, and you read in verse number 1, and God did what? Bless Noah. Okay, so in the beginning, God created man with a blessing, man's sin. God made a way for that sin to be overcome by the shedding of that blood, which reinstated man into a position where man could once again be blessed. Aren't you glad we serve an awesome God? By the way, just to give you a little taste of the depth of this, follow me please, Romans chapter 5. You can let go of Genesis, we won't come back there. Romans chapter 5. I know you're in here, Romans. There we go. Romans chapter 5. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 10. For if, when we were, what's that word?
Enemies.
Enemies. Now, there's two parties here. One party is at enmity with the other. The other is not at enmity with the one party. This is a verse here that's talking about the sin of mankind. This is a great verse here on the justification that we have by faith. The Bible says in verse number 10, when man sinned, man put himself in an enmity position with God. Now, praise the Lord, God was never at enmity with us. You understand that? Let me prove that to you. For God so loved the world. Okay? So, in our sinful condition, we stand at enmity with God in unrighteousness. However, God loved me. God's grace is amazing. God pursues us. God made salvation possible. So, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so God, in turn, reached out to his enemy. God, in turn, reached out with the blessing of salvation to his enemy. Do you have an enemy? Ultimate enemy is Satan. Amen? But let's just set Satan over here. Do you have an enemy as a human? Do you have somebody that you hate their guts? Do you have somebody who hates your guts? Do you have somebody who's at enmity with you? Do you have somebody that has grossly mistreated you, horribly talked bad about you, stabbed you in the proverbial back, aggressively works to defile and destroy you. Well, Pastor, sounds like you're describing my spouse. Stop it. Go, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to just read some verses here. I don't think I really have to say a lot about it. I think the Bible will make the point. Chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your what class? Love your enemies. Now watch this. Bless them that curse you. Okay, let's just stop a second. Now listen to the pastor. What does it mean to bless? It means to give honor and to praise. It means to care about their benefit. It means to speak well of them. It means to see them as fortunate, well off, happy, supremely blessed. That's what God's people, the way God's people are to treat their enemies. Let's keep reading. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. And what's the next word? And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Bless your enemy, do good to him, and pray to him. Truth be told, we could probably open up the invitation right now and all of us would come forward. Make your way, if you would, to verse number 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Interesting. Make your way to Luke chapter 6. This is not just a one-time mention in the Word of God. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. Jesus again references this. But I say unto you, which, what's that word? All right, let's get there. Luke chapter 6, verse number 27. But I say unto you, which hear. Now he's talking about spiritual hearing here. He's talking about those ears that are in tune with spiritual truth. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So there is no way in the world an unsaved person can do good, bless, and pray for his enemy. Okay, are you with me? Look, if you would, at verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Make your way to Romans chapter 12. Come on, don't quit on me now. Romans chapter 12. Look, if you would, verse number 14, one of the great chapters of the Bible. It reads like this. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and, what are those two words? Curse not. Curse not. So we're talking about the subject of being a blessing. And immediately I found myself thinking, Lord, why would you want me to preach on that subject? Because, man, I'm a nice guy. I feel like I'm a blessing to people. I feel like people are a blessing to me. I feel like I got this one in the bag. You ever felt like that? And then God said, Tom, do you love your enemies? Do I love my enemy? Tom, do you do good to them that despitefully use you? Do you pray for them? Or do you curse your enemy? Well, Lord, they deserve. And God says, well, Tom, what do you deserve? And anytime God asks you what you deserve, the only answer is hell. But God loved me in my enmity. Well, Pastor, I'm not God. No, but Jesus said, if you have spiritual ears to hear, that means that the Lord Jesus is in your heart. And if God is in your heart, you have the ability to love your enemy through Christ. Help me. I can do all things through Christ. So I would just ask you some very poignant questions. Tell me you don't curse under your breath people. Tell me that you've stopped praying for some. Tell me that you haven't stopped praying for somebody because of the way they treat you. Tell me that now you go out of your way not to do good to these people because you feel like they have somehow placed in an enmity position there. I have a feeling that most of God's people really need to search our hearts about our attitudes toward our enemies. And if God can bless me in my enmity and God was willing to reach out to me, then we ought to be able to do that to others. Make your way, if you would, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. Ephesians, chapter number 1. I want to show you that there is a blessing today that holds for God's people. We are blessed today. God has made it possible for mankind to be blessed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, what are those two words? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Aren't you glad that you're one of God's children? If so, say amen. Man, I can give you some verses, and I think I will give you these to write down. Write these down, because I'll just show you a little bit about where we're headed for next week. Write down Psalm 3, verse 8. Very much declares that God blesses his people. Write down Galatians 3, 6 to 8. Romans 4, 6 to 7. 2 in Revelation chapter 14, verse number 13. And Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6. Those verses, Psalm 3, 8. Galatians 3, 6 to 8, Romans 4, 6 to 7, Revelation 14, 13, Revelation 26, all speak about the fact that God does bless his people. And by the way, the ultimate blessing that God gives to his people is salvation. All right? And so God does bless his people. We have been blessed with a spiritual blessing that is in Christ. When I got saved, then I have been brought into the person of Christ. I'm seated with him in the heavenlies. All of that, the blessing of Christ has been appropriated to me. It's securely kept, and I have spiritual blessings in heavenly places. One day when you get to heaven, you'll know those blessings. To be honest with you, we are wealthy people. We're wealthy people in the Lord. So then I get statements like this. Pastor, I don't feel blessed. I don't feel blessed. Matter of fact, I feel totally opposite of blessed. Then I would respond this way, kindly. That's your fault. That's your fault. I'm going to take you through this Bible, and I'm going to show you where God says that he has a blessing for his people, and there hath not failed one word of all that God has promised. And I'm going to show you that not only is that blessing eternally reserved, but there's also blessings for the now. Matter of fact, you're in Ephesians. Look, if you would, at verse number 15. The Apostle Paul wanted the church at Ephesus to know and that these blessings were there. If you begin in verse 15, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now 17, 18, and 19 is what he's praying for them. He's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your, what? Understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so the Apostle Paul was reminding this church at Ephesus, listen, you do have blessings. You have blessings in Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, the whole book talks about their position in Christ. And he says, not only are these eternal blessings that are awaiting for you, there's the opportunity to know these blessings now. And his prayer is that their eyes would be open, that they would have knowledge, that they would have understanding under the authority of Christ that would affect them not only in the life to come, but in this life. And so I guess what I want God's people to know tonight is that you can live a blessed life. That does not mean that you won't have problems. It does not mean that you're going to have everything that you desire. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have tests or have trials. But it does mean that God has the ability to bless and to bless you now. Make your way, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I want you to go all the way back to the fifth book of the Bible. And I want to reinforce this point with a couple of verses here in Deuteronomy, and then we'll go back to the New Testament in a second. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Look, if you would, at verse number 26. Understanding who is blessed here. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 26. 27 and 28. God is talking to the nation here. And he says in verse 26, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a what? And a curse or a choice. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known." So God told the nation of Israel, I'm setting before you a blessing and a curse. You make the choice. One is tied to obedience. One is tied to disobedience. Look, if you would, at chapter 30 of the same book. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look, if you would, at verse 15. He once again references this. "See, I have set before thee this day life and good on the one side, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall, what class? Bless thee in the what? Land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to possess it. Now, why would I bring these verses up to your attention? They're escaping. That's his mom chasing him down. And she's not doing a good job. All right. In the land. Oh, he's going to see his aunt. Little Cruz, I'm glad I'm not you when she catches you. I have a feeling you're going to get it. Take your time. My scream was, don't beat me, don't beat me, don't beat me. Okay. That phrase, I want you to see it, in the end of verse number 16. The Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest. Now, the promised land, true or false, is heaven. The promised land, when the Jews crossed over Jordan, they went into the promised land. That is a picture of heaven, true or false? Better say false. The promised land was not a picture of heaven. The promised land was a picture of the spirit-filled life. It's a promise of your, it's a picture of our walk with Christ. Now God said to the Jew, you get to choose blessing or cursing when you go into the land. One's tied to obedience and worship of me, one's tied to disobedience. Now when you make the application to us in our Christian life, your blessing is not up to God. It's up to you. In the land, in my walk with the Lord, I have to determine where am I going to position myself. So, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm being blessed. God is never at fault. Amen? Okay, now come, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 1. I'll stop after this point. You can't take any more. James chapter 1. Look at verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word of God, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Okay, so in the Old Testament, God said, now when you get into the land, blessing is going to be dependent upon you. In the spirit-filled, in our day, that's in our spirit-filled life. That's in our walk with the Lord. And James said, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So as I'm walking in the Christian life, my obedience to the word of God, my walk to the word of God, positions me where I can be blessed. Go, if you would, to the book of Revelation. This will be the last one, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now watch this, verse 3. Blessed is he that, what's that word? Readeth. And they that, what's that word? Hear the words of this prophecy and what? Keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So the man that readeth, that heareth, and keepeth the word of God, that man shall be what? Blessed. Blessed. And the Bible says a lot about blessings. The Bible says, number one, that we serve a God who has a heart to bless people, has a heart to bless his people. God has a heart and a mind and a desire to bless you. Okay? So when we get to that point, I'm going to rehearse that. When I get to that point, instead of saying you, I want you to say me out loud. God has a heart and a mind and a desire to bless me. Me. And nobody can bless you like God can bless you. And I think most of the time, man, we feel anything but blessed. This is a very much a map on how to know a blessed life. And I've got about 10 verses next week and 10 truths that if you will just simply make them part of your life, I think they will position you in a manner where God can continue to bless you. And God will begin to unveil to you the power and glory of his life. Just for my sake, if you feel like you know God's blessing in your life, would you say amen?
Amen.
Good God. God did bless us even in our enmity. They're doing great. They're racing their cars, having a good time. I hope you know what it is to bless your enemy. Let's pray.